Ruth chapter 3. We talked about last week how Ruth had remained with Naomi as they returned to what city? Bethlehem. Okay. And that's so important. As we see this city, you know, where? What is this place? You know, this tiny, unknown place. for sure not. All around the world, people hear about Bethlehem. And people travel there, and they want to see that place. And, you know, of course, the locals capitalize on our interest. And, you know, this is the place where he was born, right here on this rock. You know, that's the mentality. You know, it was right here in this spot. And it doesn't really matter that exact location, that exact spot, so much as it is just to understand the setting in which it occurred. But when Ruth returns with Naomi to Naomi's homeland in Bethlehem, and Ruth goes to work, right? They go back to the home site. I mean, it was Elimelech's land, and they go back to the home site. But to do what? You know, I mean, here we are, and Ruth says, well, I don't know about you. I'm going back to work. She attaches herself to Boaz, not knowing the connection, but God organizing and taking care of it by his providence. And so Ruth goes to work every day. She gets there early. She stays late. She doesn't, you know, waste time. She's recognized for her work ethic. She's recognized for her beauty. And then, of course, knowing the backstory that here's this Moabitess woman who came with her mother-in-law, left her people to take care of her aging mother-in-law. And now she's out here working in the field every day. And that, you know, that showed some character. And Boaz liked that. And so he got to know her personally. And then she goes home. And verse 1 of chapter 3, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" So what she's saying is, instead of you having to go out here and work every day in the field, I've got a better answer. I've got an idea. How many of y'all ever played matchmaker? And that's what Naomi's doing. Verse 2 is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Verse 3, wash thyself, therefore, anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee. In other words, get ready for a date. Right? You need to prepare yourself. Look, you've been out there working in the field. You need a bath. and put some nice smelly stuff on. Fix your hair and put on something nice. Not, you know, not flashy, but something attractive. And go down, get thee down to the floor, and make not thyself known to the man till he shall have done eating and drinking. So you don't want to approach him, but just go down there and wait. And it says in verse 4, and when he lieth down, thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. Thou shalt go in, uncover his feet, lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. This is a little bit more than matchmaking, isn't it? I think they would arrest you in Leon County for that now. I would hope so anyway. So what happened? Well, verse 7 it says, when Boaz had eaten and drunk, his heart was merry. He went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. So what impression do you get just from what you've read? What are we showing? What is she signifying? Submission. And what does this remind you of in the New Testament? right? Right, it's a different culture and a different time. But what does she do? She doesn't present herself as, you know, hey, I'm a single woman, you know, how about let's go to dinner sometime? She shows up after he has eaten and drunk, and he's merry, right? So we know he's been drinking something with a little something in it. And he goes and he lies down, and she puts herself at his feet. New Testament. What happened when Jesus sat down at the table? And she washed his feet with her tears, wiped it with her hairs. She anointed his feet with that precious ointment. Here are women in the New Testament. Again, what are they doing? They're putting themselves in submission to the Master. And that is the picture we're seeing here. Right? Who am I? Who are you in this story? You're Ruth. We're all Ruth. Where do we come from? We have no rights. She didn't have any right to this place. The only right that she got was because, you know, she was with Naomi, and Naomi's the one that had the rights, but because of the Redeemer, now she's able to have a full inheritance, to have the promise. We're Ruth in this story. Jesus, Boaz is Jesus. And so she sets herself down. Verse 8, it came to pass that the man at midnight, the man was afraid. Why was he afraid? He had a sense somebody's here. And behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, "Who art thou?" She answered, "I'm Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." So she says, "I want to be under your covering." Right? Psalm 91, remember that? "It dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High." Right? That's the idea. She wants to be under his protection, she wants to marry him. Again, same thing. When we get saved, what is it that we're desiring of Jesus? That he will protect us, that he will give us that inheritance of eternal life. The same thing. And so she says, verse 10, he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter. For thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich." And so we get the picture that Boaz is not a young buck, right? He's not a youngin'. He's grown. He, of course, we know he's wealthy. He's enterprising. But now we see that he's also of age. Verse 11, "Now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know thou art a virtuous woman." You see her character. She had that godly character, that goodness, that righteousness, that kindness and mercy. And so he says, "I will." Verse 12, "Now it is true, I am thy near kinsman." Okay, that was no secret. He knew he was related to Naomi. "But howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I." Verse 12. So he knows that he's a near kinsman, but he says there's somebody that's got more rights than I do where it comes to this. So that's where we stand. And how many of you think Boaz was disappointed by that idea? I think he'd already been thinking about it, looking into it, trying to figure out if that was something that would work out. Verse 13, "Tarry this night, it shall be in the morning, if he will perform to thee the part of a kinsman." Well, let him do the kinsman's part. "But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down till the morning." And she lay at his feet until morning. She rose up before one could know another. What does that mean? Still dark, right? Still dark outside. And he said, "Let it not be known that a woman came to the floor." Also, he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley, laid it on her, and she went into the city. So now it's still dark. Now she's got a load of meal to take with her. So he has not left her, sent her away empty. Verse 16, when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? She told her all that man had done to her. She said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said, go not empty to thy mother-in-law. Again, it's that character. You know, Boaz is really impressed by Ruth's commitment to Naomi, that she would travel with her from Moab to this place, that she would come back to Bethlehem with her, giving up her life, right? That statement that we say, where thou lodgest, I will lodge, where thou diest, I will die. Thy people be my people, thy God be my God. That devotion that she had for this woman. And Boaz is very impressed by that. He said, take this back and give this to Naomi. Verse 18. And Naomi says, sit still, my daughter, till thou know how the matter will fall. The man will not be in rest till he have finished the thing this day. She said, I tell you what, Boaz is on top of this. And there will be no delay. So they're all excited. So what happens? Verse 4, Boaz went to the gate. Or chapter 4, Boaz went to the gate, sat down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by. Unto whom he said, oh, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. He turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit down here. And they sat down. I don't know about you. Does that make you uncomfortable so far? And you just walk into town, go by the gate, and Boaz, oh, come on, sit down. Y'all come over here too. All of a sudden, he's starting to research everything in his memory, what he's done. I need to talk to you about something. There's something very important for us to deal with. He said to the kinsman, verse 3, Naomi that has come again out of the country of Moab selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants, before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, oh yeah, I want it. I will redeem it. And Boaz said, ugh, this didn't go the way I planned. Verse 5, Boaz said, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. He says it comes with a wife. Not often you buy a land that comes with a wife. But what do we know? What is the, when you read that, and Boaz is trying to sell him to not buy the land, what do you see in there? Okay, that he wants it, but what does he use? What's his selling point? The wife. The Moabitess. Hey, it's not just a wife, that's a foreigner. She's not one of us. But you got to marry her too. And verse 6, the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. And Boaz was so happy, don't you think? He was pleased. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. Verse 7, for to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. You make a vow. There had to be some token. Had to be some, you could go, look, I got the man's shoe right here that solemnized this, that documented this. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. Verse 9, Boaz said to the elders and to all the people, your witnesses this day, I have bought all that was Elimelech's, all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's, of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. So, right there at the gate, it's all taken care of. It all went exactly the way that Boaz wanted it to go, and the way that Naomi intended it to go. And they, after they agreed that they were witnesses, they had a blessing in verse 11. Look at their blessing. The Lord make the woman that is coming to thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which did build the house of Israel. Do thou worthily in Ephrathah, and be famous in Bethlehem. What do we know about that place, right? Wasn't that a significant place? Jesus is born there. Let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. And who is Tamar? Remember Tamar? Judah had a son, and so that son, marries Tamar. Son dies. He was, by the way, a wicked man. And so what's the order? Well, the order, same here, kinsman redeemer. She's supposed to marry the next brother, and the next brother, the next brother, the next brother. Comes to the next brother, and the brother says, I ain't marrying her. I'm not marrying. And so what are you supposed to do? And so Judah said, well, tell you what, go home to your family until we get one old enough to marry you. And she goes home, and Judah, a little while long later, goes there to tend to some of his investments, his herd. And Tamar finds out he's there, and she disguises herself as a prostitute. And Judah goes in unto her. And when he gets ready to leave, she says, oh, hold on. You got to pay me. Again, now if I was writing the Bible, I'd have left that chapter out. Right? See, that's how you can tell that it's true, because he puts the bad stuff in there too. And Judah says, well, I'll send you a goat. And she says, well, you got to give me something now. He said, what do you want? She said, I want your necklace that signifies who you are. It's got your signet on it. I want that staff that you wear. That staff has got his whole family history on it. And he says, oh, no problem. He gives it to her. He goes out to the flock. He says to his friend, hey, take a goat back to such and such place over there, that woman that's there. The guy gets back with the goat, and guess what? She gone. She's not there. And they said, so he's got this goat. He says, where's that woman that was here? They said, don't know what you're talking about. Well, she was here, and I was supposed to bring her a goat. Don't know. Goes back to Judah and says, Judah, no woman there. He said, well, there was. Not now. So what happens? Boy, that signet, that's his family crest. That's his credit card. That's his wallet. That staff is his family, the front of his Bible. It's got all the marriages and all the births and everything in it. It tells, there is no... There's no denying it. It's gonna trace back to him. And so he gets concerned about it, but he goes on with his life, right? Word comes to him later, says, hey, your daughter-in-law Tamar, the widow of your son, she's pregnant. Oh boy, that's scandalous. You bring her here. She's got to answer for that's awful. That's terrible. She shouldn't have done that. And so they bring her in. And who's the father of this baby? She said, well, I got his necklace right here. And his staff right here. Your sins will find you out, won't they? He goes, oh, well, guess whose baby she's pregnant with? Judah's babies, two of them, twins. And that's significant because here in verse 12, look at what they're blessed. This is their blessing. The people are blessing Boaz. Let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. And so what's the significance? How does that fit into here? What is the tribe that Jesus is born of? Tribe of Judah. And isn't it just incredible that as we trace that line back, we end up here with Perez and Tamar? It's just, we look at our lives sometimes, because telling that story, we're like, oh no, that's awful. Guys, we make a mess sometimes, don't we, in our lives? But you know what God can do? God can take that mess and turn it into something great. And that's exactly what he did with Judah's indiscretion, if we will, his sin. He turned it into something that he could use. Guys, he can use our failures. Verse 13, so Boaz took Ruth. She was his wife. He went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. He shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life. Remember, who is this kinsman? This is Jesus. A restorer of thy life, a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law which loveth thee. And let me pause here just a moment and say this. Boaz brags on the devotion of Ruth. But what kind of a person must Naomi have been to cultivate the kind of love that Ruth had for her? Because I know some people, man, you know, if they had a chance to get away from them, they're out. They're gone. But Ruth would not leave, and Orpah did. Orpah said, okay, good idea, I'm going home. But she gave them, when they said we're going to stay, she gave them the chance to leave. They said, no, we're going to stay. She gave them another chance to leave. She insisted that they go, and Ruth said, I'm not going. But what kind of character did Naomi have that would cultivate such friendship, such kinship, such love from Ruth? Anyway, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons. And Naomi took the child, laid it in her bosom, became nurse to it, and the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. So, he is the father of Jesse, the father of David, right? So, isn't that remarkable? In that city of Bethlehem, it's a significant, and I know we go through this in this season, but it's significant to look at it. Verse 18, now these are the generations of Perez, okay? Right? So above Perez is who? Judah. Perez begat Hezron. Hezron begat Ram. Ram begat Abinadab. Abinadab, Nashon. Nashon begat Salmon. Salmon begat Boaz. And Boaz begat Obed. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David. And Ruth had no idea when she was in Moab, when she left her culture, her people, and said to Naomi, your God will be my God, that she would be in the lineage of the Savior. Isn't that incredible? when Tamar was feeling betrayed by her family she had married into, devised a scheme and caught Judah and bore him a son. She had no idea that that was the line of the Savior. Guys, God can use us even in our failures, even when we've sinned, even when we've just ruined everything. When somebody could look at us and say, I would never do anything. I'd never be part of a church they're part of, right? I'd never go to church with that person. They're such a sinner. If they go to that church, it must be a lousy church. And God can take us in that situation and make something wonderful. And that he proves again and again in the Bible. Do we have anything else to add? Let's take a break.